This is Tom Luongo.
This is Alex Craner.
This is Franco Terrazano.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough.
This is Joshua Allen, the Cowboy Preacher, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, folks. I sound like an old smoker, okay? And I'm going to have to struggle through this for a bit. But while I have Jack in studio, he's going to do the ad reads because my voice hurts. And no, it has not come back yet. This has been way too many days since the event. So if you were in Lloydminster on the weekend, thanks for coming. It was a wild, wild time. But I'm going to let Jack do the ad reads for now. I'll probably poke fun on him as we go. Jack, fire away.
All right, let me put my radio voice on. With government deficits running out of control, now might be the perfect time to deliver some of your hard-earned savings into physical money that can't be printed. Gold and silver.
Gold and silver, folks.
Silver Gold Bull is my favorite precious metals dealer, offering a full suite of services to help you buy, sell, and store precious metals. They ship your metal discreetly, fully insured, and with tracking straight to you. They are offering special feature pricing on everyone's favorite silver coin, the Royal Canadian Mint Silver Maple Leaf. The offer is not available to their site and is only open for Sean Newman listeners.
That's you, folks. Not this guy. Not this old smoker, Pam. I'm listening to my voice. I'm like, oh my God, I sound awful.
Thanks, Pamela.
Do you have any silver or gold? Do you own any? I don't own any.
I don't own any.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I tell you what.
Does this deliver into the United States as well?
It does. So silvergoldbull.ca is Canada. Silvergoldbull.com is the United States. Anywhere in North America, you can get silver and gold straight to your place, among a bunch of other things they have too.
Call or email Graham for details.
And if you like my voice today, you should email Graham and just say, hey, thanks for supporting the Smoker Sean Independent Media. It's great to have him, supported by great companies.
You and Jamie Sinclair on the same episode today would be quite interesting.
Shout out to Jamie.
All right, what's next, Sean? We got CalRock, your trusted partner in surplus oil field equipment. Leading supplier of new, used, and reconditioned oil field production
equipment.
Sound like
a stiff? Do I sound like this when I do ad reads, folks? This is... I guess I've never had a radio personality read my ads before.
We need to get you on NPR. Yeah. This is what you sound like. Well, where were we at? Your trusted partner in surplus oil field equipment. Leading supplier of new, used, and reconditioned oil field production equipment in Canada. But that's not all. Tank fabrication, new and refurbished, fluid storage tanks, trucking, pump jacks, and demolition. CalRock.ca.
For all information, go to CalRock.ca. This is almost a comedy read. Keep going. I'm enjoying this.
What else do we have next? Rectech. For over 20 years, Rectech Power Products have committed to excellence in the power sports industry. They offer a full lineup, including.
we don't erase the screw-ups. That's the thing
edit,
about.
Hell no.
This is how it goes. If we're gonna edit anything out, it's gonna be this terrible voice on this side.
They offer a full lineup, including Can AM, or is that Can Am?
Can Am. Can AM. Well, why don't we start saying that, folks?
Ski-Doo, Sea-Doo, Spider, Mercury.
Evinrude. You know, we should...
Don't make me say the last one.
We should really take you down to... Al, if you're listening, I should bring Jack down to your... So you understand what the hell you're talking about. This is hilarious. An American who is reading the ads is well, this is fascinating.
I might as well be reading Chinese right now.
Yeah,
carry on.
Stop in on the west side of Lloyd today, folks, or go to rectechpowerproducts.com. That is where you can find out more about what they do. But please, Jack, you're enlightening me. This is fantastic.
Don't
enjoy this.
Don't forget the Mahindra Rockstar.
Mahindra Rockstar. Okay. Oh, man. I'm going to have to say, welcome to the Sean Newman Podcast. I can't talk properly. It's driving me nuts. Probably somewhere someone's going, oh, my God, stop talking. This is just hurting my ears. This is my voice today, folks.
I think this ad read is going to hurt a lot of people's ears. All right, what else do we have? Oh, parts department can hook you up with any upgrades or odds and ends in maintenance, open Monday through Saturday. For further details, visit them at rectechpowerproducts.com. All right, we're almost there, guys. Ignite Distribution out of Wainwright, Alberta can supply industrial safety, welding, automotive parts. On-site inventory management if you want to make sure you never run out of what you need. 780-842-3433. Again, that's 780-842-3433. Call Shane Stafford.
Shane Stafford is an absolute beauty. And hey, if you want somebody looking after your business, you want good people. Simple as that, right? I look at Jack, folks, and although he makes me laugh in ad reads, what he does on the back end is fantastic. And what Shane Stafford's going to do on your back end is fantastic. That's why you want him. So reach out to him today, and you're not going to have any problems.
Let's not take that, what we just said, out of context.
Sure.
All right.
Sure. In my smoker voice, you take it however you want, folks.
Now, on to the tale of the tape. He is CEO of Armstrong Economics and is the developer of the economic confidence model based on business cycles, which is best known for calling the crash of 1987. Talking about Martin Armstrong, so buckle up, folks.
Good evening, Martin. Thanks for joining us here at the Cornerstone Forum. Appreciate you being a part of this event.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You know, I guess when we started this, Martin, the idea was to kind of peer into the future and see what, you know, the world was doing and see if we could navigate some of what the world or our political leaders or elites keep trying to force down some of our throats. I was curious, you know, I guess where I wanted to start with you was, you know, when you look at the next year and you're advising people, you know, like maybe pay attention to this event or maybe pay attention to what's going on here. Where do you look? And, you know, and I guess I'm really, like, you know, this time next year, like April 2025, you know, when you look at the next year, what are you paying attention to?
Well, we have problems both internationally, but also domestically. on a domestic level, our computer's been projecting, you know, a rise in war and civil unrest since 2014. And it's all starting to really come to a head. This particular election, I really don't care who wins. Neither side's going to accept it. I mean, the country's just so polarized. So we do see very sharp rise in civil unrest related to this election on a domestic level. Internationally, we have wars in the Middle East, in Europe, in Asia. I think people have to understand that the main role of the president is when he sits in these cabinet meetings, he's supposed to be the referee. And you have all these agencies, everybody, they're like children. They all just want their own way. So you have basically the people in the State Department threatening, you know, everybody they can with war around the world. And they don't even understand that, for example, China is the largest holder of debt. So then you have Janet Yellen hopping on a plane to China saying, please still buy our debt. I mean, if China has been selling off, but if the problem, how countries collapse is when they're in these Ponzi schemes of debt. If you can't sell the new debt to pay off the old, that's when the default comes. So the real problem we have here is that these people threatening China, if they stop buying, we have serious problems economically. Interest rates are going up, not down. and it just sets off a cascade event throughout the entire economy globally and internationally. In Europe, this war in Ukraine, people have to step back and look at it objectively here. Nobody ever that I've ever spoken to in Washington ever expected Ukraine to win. All right. Russia had 4.5 million people in the army without drafting. they were just using it to try to, kill as many Russians as possible and re-weaken them for NATO to confront them later on, which is what seems to be, developing now. You have Poland saying, gee, if Ukraine falls, we have to go in. France, you got Macron saying NATO should send in troops. Putin was actually telling the truth. There was a peace deal. Boris Johnson hopped on the plane, told Zelensky to kill it. That actually made the front page newspapers in Ukraine. ever since then, you've had over 500,000 Ukrainians have been killed. This is not for the benefit of Ukraine. And then Zelensky just had to come out a couple of weeks ago, and because people were starting to say, what are you doing to our country? We can't decide our own fate. And he came out and said, oh, no, we can decide if we want peace or not. Then you got, in the Middle East, it just seems like you take the entire world, throw it in a cup, put the top on, shake and see what comes out. It's on every possible front. And then you actually had people ask Janet Yellen, do you think the United States could afford wars on all these different fronts? And she's, oh, yes, of course. Without any regard to people who were involved or anything else. So gold has been rising. And I've been saying for a long time that gold does not rise with inflation. It rises with the decline in the confidence of government. And that's what's happening. Gallup polls have shown the confidence in Congress is now down to 7%. Confidence in government itself on the Gallup poll is 28%. These are historic lows. You used to believe the government. it's like whatever they say, people are like, I don't know, what lie is this one? And it's not just the U.S. It's throughout Europe. And I think COVID was the catalyst for it. Because everybody now, Germany, they realize the government has lied. Documents have come out showing that they knew lockdowns didn't work and neither did masks, yet they still did it. You're getting to the point that people are just fed up. And I think you do have a rising mass of discontent. And that's probably going to materialize with this 24 election. In my entire lifetime, I've never seen the government weaponize the legal system like this. It's not just Trump. They just indicted 18 people, 18 Republicans in Arizona for simply saying that Trump won. What's going on in this country? We're becoming a banana republic. And the foolishness here is that don't they realize that you're not going to be in power all the time unless you're eliminating everything and making a dictatorship. All right. Because when the other side gets in, they're going to do the same thing to you. So you're tearing the very fabric of the rule of law apart at the seams. So this is not you know, I'm not very optimistic that we're going to see things settle down. Our computer has been projecting for, you know, for quite some time that our forms of government, republics, are going to collapse. They are traditionally the most corrupt in history. I mean, even a monarchy or a dictatorship isn't as corrupt because you can't bribe them. But in a republic, everybody's up for sale. You know, it's just not working. You know, the founding fathers had a great idea, but, you know, they made some mistakes. There should have been, you know, government by the people and for the people was a fantastic idea. But, you know, they didn't put in term limits. You know, so you have these people that become career politicians. It's not just here, but you look at Europe, the same thing. Look at Macron in France. You know, I mean, these people, once they're there, it's like a drug to them. They're addicted.
Well, where I sit here in Canada, Martin, we have Justin Trudeau right now. And I think a lot of people, although paying attention to the American election, are also paying attention to our own election because, you know, you're talking about term limits. We could face another term of Justin Trudeau, and he just continues to take us deeper and deeper into a banana republic, to use one of your terms.
Look, I know Klaus Schwab. The two of us have been, you know, confronting each other, I would say, since probably 1985. But he actually does have a bust of Lenin on his shelf in his office. He is a control freak, and he thinks that absolute, you know, they don't like democracy. They don't like our right to vote. I mean, Trudeau is just, I mean, it's the same thing everywhere you go. You know, it's a debate as to who's worse, Biden or Trudeau, you know, but, you turn to Europe, it's the same thing. And not a single world leader is even questioning peace. Nobody even brings it up.
Yeah.
We got to get them, whatever. I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, you know, everybody was for world peace. Nixon hopped on a plane and opened up China to divide China from Russia to create world peace. All right. today we pushed them together.
So when you, you know, I agree with you. When you look at this and go back to one of the things you said right off the hop was China is the largest debt holder. And I don't see any world leaders talking about, you know, finding workable solutions to some of the troubles we face across the globe. And that leads to some talk of war with China. If something were to happen to the largest debt holder on the planet, what does that mean to the rest of us? You mentioned a couple things, but I wouldn't mind if you'd talk just a little bit more about that.
Well, the reason they're looking at these wars and nobody's interested in peace is I can tell you firsthand what they're really looking to do is create these wars so they can default on their debt. And then the idea is to create Bretton Woods too. And the new reserve currency will be a digital currency from the IMF. That this is what these people really think. They know there's no solution here. I mean, just look at these debts. Is it ever even possible to pay it off? When Ronald Reagan was president, everybody freaked out because the national debt hit $1 trillion. This year, our interest expenditures will be $1 trillion. I mean, there is no, you know, possible way of solving this situation without a default. And, you know, we have to understand that they have grasped that problem. And that's what Schwab is even saying. You'll own nothing and be happy. All right. That's what he's really getting at. that, you know, we can't continue this. Why do you borrow money year after year if you never intend to pay it back? There's something seriously wrong with this system.
If they default on all their debt, Martin, I assume there's some pain that happens immediately after that. If that were to come, what are the things that are the fallout immediately after of defaulting on debt?
Basically, you go, everything that's tangible is what really survives. If you look at Germany after the end of the hyperinflation, they came out with a new currency in 1925. It was backed by real estate. That's why you see real estate rising. I mean, I'm in Florida. I get at least three calls a week. Gee, you want to sell your house? No, thanks. You know, goodbye. You know, what am I going to do? Go to Chicago? You know, the traffic here has at least doubled in the 8 years that I've been here. You know, I was often in Austin, Texas, meeting with a bunch of clients out there, and they were talking about moving to Florida. And I said, why? They said, well, these illegals at least have to swim to get to you. You know, everywhere you go, it's interesting that this movie Civil War came out actually on the April 12th, which was the first day in 1861 that the Civil War took place. I went to go see it. I'm actually going to go see it again. I mean, it's been the number one in box offices for over 2 weeks now, because everybody knows something is wrong. And the movie does not tell you the why. There's like a couple of scenes, and one guy says, what's going on? Well, they're trying to kill us, so we're trying to kill them. It's no explanation as to how you got there. But this is pretty much it. We show civil unrest is coming. You look at Canada, you'll probably also split apart from West versus East. U.S. will clearly split up at least into two, if not three. You look at, you know, Ukraine. What Zelensky has done is deliberately try to invoke a civil war there. He outlawed in the Donbass, outlawed them even speaking their own natural language, Russian. Then that wasn't enough. He then said he attacked their religion. So, well, you can't be subservient to the patriarch like their pope in Moscow. You have to be to mine here in Kiev. Then that didn't work. So now he actually came out and says, you can no longer celebrate Christmas Orthodox. It has to be December 25th. I think if Canada outlawed French, I think you would find a civil war there too. You know, you can't do these kinds of things. People are entitled to their own culture. I mean, California versus Florida is like night and day. This is just the way it is. We may be one country, but there are different pockets of culture, and you can't have a centralized government dictating this. This is what brought down the Soviet Union. And most people don't realize the history of that. But Lenin was a communist, but he wanted to create something more like the United States, where all the states were independent and retained their sovereignty. All right. Stalin is the one that said no. And they believe that Stalin even poisoned Lenin, and Lenin had written a letter, do not let, you know, Stalin secede me. It was Stalin who usurped all the power, central control, and, you know, it didn't work, you know, and Schwab reminds me of him, actually, with this authoritarian dictatorship idea. And just as in Canada, as it here's in the United States, you cannot change people's cultures. I mean, you take like the abortion issue. The Supreme Court said, okay, fine, it should go back to the states, which is correct. All right. In some areas, it violates their religion. You can't say no, you have to accept it. You know, then you are going to get civil war. You know, California, you know, if a kid wants to change their gender, the parent's not even allowed to know. I mean, this is crazy. You know, that would never fly in Florida. But
I think here, you know, one of the things you've said before, and you've said it again, is Canada splitting and splitting maybe into multiple spots. When I hear that, at certain times, I completely can understand how we get there. And at other times, I'm like, man, a lot of things got to happen in between here and there to make that possible. You know, like, wait, I know it doesn't write out a plan of how you get from, you know, A to B, so to speak. But, you know, when you look at Canada splitting, certainly the value sets of different areas, different pockets, like you point out, is becoming more and more evident. But, I mean, like, a lot of things have to happen I don't know the time frame in order to get to that, because that's a pretty substantial thing of all of a sudden Canada splits.
It's not as long drawn out as you think. If you look at throughout history, sometimes it's just one event that does it. And you take the Roman Empire. Once the Emperor Valerian was actually captured in a battle by the Persians, that set off a financial panic. Banks weren't sure if they should continue to take Roman coins. That was the final blow. All right. And then you can see from the monetary system, it within 8 years, it just completely collapsed. So communism, it collapsed. People thought, oh, well, because of communication. It's not true. If you go back, Rome overthrew its kings in 509, you know, BC, and within 6 months, Athens says that's a great idea and overthrew their tyrants, and democracy was born. It swept the entire ancient world at that point. So sometimes it's just a spark. It's not necessarily a logical thing, but what has been going on in Canada and the United States is like this climate change thing is really an excuse for power. You know, you have Biden outlawing gas stoves. Well, I grew up with a gas stove. I think I'm still alive. You know, this gets to be absolutely, you know, insane. You know, Trudeau, you know, undermining fossil fuels. I mean, that's the basic economic cornerstone of Alberta. You know, it's you've already set these disputes in motion. So it won't necessarily take some, you know, a long drawn out affair. Something can spark it and that's it. Perhaps the war does it. Trudeau trying to send off troops, you know, whatever. It's, but there's something that usually happens in our computer. I don't see this. I think war is probably going to peak out by around 2027. So I don't see this as a long drawn out affair.
If you were sitting, Martin, in Alberta, Saskatchewan specifically, you know, where I sit today is right on the border of those two provinces. And you were looking, you're going, okay, well, something's going to happen in the next whatever time frame, whether it's a year, whether it's, you know, 10 years, that's going to set things in motion. You've outlined that, you know, it could be, you know, not even like a logical thing. It could just be something that sparks it way it goes. If you were sitting in one of the two provinces, what would you be doing? Would you be acquiring land then? Or would you be putting your money into gold, silver, Bitcoin? Would you be buying things? Would you be like, maybe it's just time to get out? What would you be thinking to yourself when you look at where the projections go And you know that civil unrest is not decreasing, it's increasing, and it's showing a split of like Canada's going to break apart. What would you be doing if you're sitting in this neck of the woods?
Well, I think, you know, the two main things that you'd be looking at is primarily land, and gold is the medium of exchange. All right. So that could replace money per se in what you would call a black market, which will always emerge. They want to eliminate cash. I mean, Trudeau canceled your high denomination notes already. They think that eliminating cash, the way they look at us is that we are the enemy. And you have to understand that. This whole thing of moving to CBDCs is that they think that eliminating paper cash and everything goes into a CBDC, they will get 35% more in taxation. Even US IRS down here, the official number is that everybody cheats by 35%. This is the way they look at us. Europe, it's the same thing. I've been in meetings in Europe. They think eliminating cash, they will increase their tax revenue by 35 to 40%. You know, and I've argued, I said, I don't care what you think you get, you will still spend more than what you take in. I mean, this is not, you know, they look at it like we're the enemy. They wouldn't have this debt problem if it wasn't for us. And that's just total nonsense. That's why we cannot have career politicians. Because once they're on that side, forget it. You're gone. At my last conference, I had a friend of mine who was chief of staff on the House Banking Committee, and I put him on the stage, and because I didn't think people would believe me. He said, you become the leader not by being the strongest, but by the weakest. The guy that agrees to everything. Just look at what just took place with Johnson in the Senate. Everybody's shocked. Oh my God, he gave up everything. That's what they do. All right. To get to that position, they have to please everybody. They're not going to be some warrior to defend the people in the country. It's not going to happen. It's sad to say, but that's the truth.
I'm curious your thoughts on, like here in Canada, you know, people are shocked by it, I guess, on how much involvement the Chinese have in our government. You know, it's come out that they've ran election interference 2019, 2021, and been pushing a lot of foreign money investment into our country. You know, from where you stand, you know, I sit here, I didn't know, you know, pretty much anything 5 years ago. So to say that I knew a whole lot about how different countries look at different, you know, how to interact with different countries and how to influence them and different things like that. When you hear all the news coming out about China's involvement in Canada, does that shock Martin Armstrong, or is Martin like, oh no, this is as old as time as well?
Pretty much. You had Obama sending up teams to help Trudeau get elected. I was in London when, you know, they were trying to push for a Labour government with Tony Blair. Everybody that advised Clinton, they were there. They all work together globally. It is nothing new.
Okay, well then my final question before I let you go, and I appreciate you giving us some time tonight here at the Cornerstone Forum, is the White House is, it just came out this week, the White House is now considering declaring a national climate emergency, which would give Biden COVID-like powers. What do you, like, you know, when you say they all work together, if Biden's thinking this, or the White House is thinking this, or his handlers are thinking this, whoever it is, chances are he's not alone. I would almost guarantee he's not alone. Do you think that's a possibility? And if so, what timeline would you put on that if they're talking about it or mentioning it now?
Oh, yes. I mean, look, this is the next phase. COVID was a scam. They knew that lockdowns does not work. They also knew that masks did not work. All the documents have been coming out, you know, from Germany on that. This was about control. And this comes back to the whole problem of the debt that I was talking about. They know the system is no longer sustainable. So what they are afraid of when they are going into this, they can't keep it up. People are going to be storming, you know, the Capitol buildings with pitchforks. You know, their pensions are gone, etc. So what are they doing? This is, oh, climate. You know, look, I've got models. Climate change is absolute another fraud. The climate has always changed. All right. There's a cycle to climates. We've had ice ages, warming periods, etc. I mean, this is all nonsense long before fossil fuels were ever around. But they use this, and the United Nations has been behind it because they want to use it as the justification for a world government. And so you have the WHO coming out with, we will determine when there's going to be a pandemic and everybody has to comply. It's a centralized power is what they're doing. All right. You've got Gates behind it. Soros is behind it. They're handing out pamphlets to these people coming across the border. You know, here you go. We're letting you in to keep the borders open. Make sure you vote for Biden in writing. That's what this is all about. So they need the war to default. They're using the climate change. And I can tell you, they're probably going to do it before the 24 election. The 2020 election, if you remove the mail-in ballots, Trump won. And, you know, that's not a conspiracy theory or anything else. That's plain fact. So what they're doing, again, they used COVID back then to justify mail-in ballots for the 2020 election. They're doing this again. There's another pandemic that's on the, you know, this bird flu. It's already in cows, etc. They're going to use that. They're using climate change. And again, to create lockdowns. And then what? Oh, you have to mail in your vote. Once you do that, you know, it's over. They look, what they're doing to Trump is, you know, it's absolutely unbelievable. But why are they fighting with Trump so much? Because they're scared to death if and he's still well above in the polls. All right, 50 to 30 some percent, you know, in the battleground states. They know they will lose, so they have to rig this again. All right, lockdowns is going to be the best way to do it. If it's for climate, bird flu, or whatever, they'll just come up with whatever excuse they need. But what they're afraid of is that Trump now knows the game. And so... he's against climate change. He's against war. I went down to Mar-a-Lago for dinner. I think it was in March 2020 when he was still president. And he's actually the only head of state that ever impressed me. He said he wanted to bring the troops out of Afghanistan, but he said he was sick and tired of writing letters to their families to say their son died for God and country. He says, what are we doing there? They've been fighting over borders for 1,000 years. What difference are we going to make? And I am quoting him. That's why he wanted to move out. Kennedy was against Vietnam. They assassinated him. All right. Trump is too much of a risk to them. If he won't go along with the war agenda, he will not go along with the climate change agenda. That's enough. All right. Forget the draining of the swamp and everything else. I mean, it would have been nice if he could have done that, but I didn't see how that was possible. Nobody was going to vote. Yes, you're right. I should only be here for 2 years and never come back again. They're not going to vote against themselves. to do that, you need a revolution or something. But this is why they're fighting Trump so much. This is their power. They see this as usurping all the power and centralizing. And actually, Jamie Dimon really did surprise me. I mean, he's the head of Chase Bank in New York. At Davos, I was shocked. He came out and you can look up his speech. He said Trump was right. He was right about the border. He was right about China. And he was right about NATO. That third one really shocked me. I mean, NATO is basically really just a terrorist organization. Russia has never had any, inkling since communism fell to go in and take over Europe. I mean, that was the days of Khrushchev. All right. When communism fell, I got a hold of the declassified documents from the Clinton administration. Again, Putin was telling the truth. There was, and I published it, Russia was invited to join NATO. Why? If Russia's not a threat, why do you need NATO? All right. These people were afraid that climate change was going to take all their money. So they constantly have to beat the war drums. That's in their own self-interest. They lose their jobs if there's peace. That's the problem with NATO. They're always going to, support their own agenda.
Well, Martin, I appreciate you giving us time. You know, if it's never dull when you come on this side. If there's a final thought from you, is there a hopeful thought, or you just see war and civil unrest in the future?
In the near future, yes. The light at the end of the tunnel is this time, let's learn from our mistakes. We're going to get a shot at redesigning government. Let's do it right this time. And not just listen to the fake news like, unfortunately, our founding fathers did back then.
Well, I appreciate you coming and giving us some time tonight, Martin. All the best, and we will chat, I'm sure, soon enough. Thanks again.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and take care up there.